The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on Kent Business Radio, Biz Radio, and channelradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host...
Bird on a bike.
Miss on a bike.
Miss on a bike.
How you doing?
I'm right, you?
I'm okay, thanks.
Seems years ago.
Since what?
I seen you.
Yeah, it was. Week before last, wasn't it?
Yeah, and you didn't even care.
Yeah, I did.
I went, how are you? You went, what?
Yeah, I did care. I was worried about you.
Why?
I saw you dribbling this morning.
Oh, my days. Oh, my days. I nearly fell off the bike. My mate, I was doing a... You know I'm training for this race next
week? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Box
honestly,
Hill.
Honestly,
yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
So, honestly, my mate went to me, Bird, are you all right? I said, well, I've got one more five-minute big effort to put in.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm going to stand behind you because you're like going to fall off your bike. I'm serious. It's that bad.
Really?
So, I want to talk about that, yeah, because it's really interesting.
Is it?
Yes.
What? Yeah, go on.
What's the stammer for?
Well, basically, it's I'm killing myself to make myself fit.
No, you've missed the point.
You're
the point.
See, I cut out the middle, man.
Right. I've gone beyond trying to get fit now. I'm training to win a race.
It's competitive now, is it?
Of course it is. You know what I'm like.
It's killer instinct, isn't it?
I can't help it. I just can't help myself.
So
no, you've got to go beyond what most people will do. And here's what I see.
Yeah,
so here's the thing.
Hold on a minute. Going beyond and there's going out into the way beyond.
Yeah, this is way beyond.
And at the moment, you're in way beyond territory.
This is way beyond. Yeah, I mean, like, you only have to watch around. So, and I think this is quite relevant to everything you do. Look at the environment and look how people are behaving.
Mm.
And if you want to absolutely create success beyond what you believe is possible, you have to do what most people are prepared not to do.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's not to dribble. People were happy not to dribble in the gym. It's true.
You see, I got that bit nailed.
What's that?
The dribbling bit.
Yeah.
I can do the dribbling
bit. It was
so
unattractive. But I really didn't
care.
What's
she saying about me?
No, you, me, this morning. Honestly, it was like... And I had people going, are you all right? I think you need to put a bit more effort in. Honestly, I came off. It's literally probably about an hour ago that I've just started to feel my legs again and I'm just human. So, yes.
Well, if you need a hand with that, let me know.
What, to become more human?
No, feeling your legs.
And there we go. Where do I go with that now?
Exactly.
Help me.
Exactly.
I don't think you go anywhere with it.
No, exactly. So what do you know? How are you?
I'm okay, thank you, Bird. Yeah.
Tell us about your adventure last night, because I saw that you were...
Yeah, it's really interesting. Yeah. Amanda and I went to the House of Lords last night. We went to a reception in the River Inn, which people may recall from a couple of years ago was the centre of a big story when Derry Irvine, the then Lord Chancellor, used it as an apartment and spent £65,000 on wallpaper that was hand-painted. And I have to tell you, the wallpaper's horrible.
Why?
It's just horrible.
What's not nice about it?
It's dark green and it's just horrible. It's just...
Well, like British Racing green.
Yeah, yeah. It's just horrible. Anyway, it's not an apartment any longer.
Okay.
It's now used as a meeting room. And we went there with the Kenwood Trust. And for those that don't know, the Kenwood Trust is a charity. They have two or three locations, but they're best known for their location just outside Maidstone. They're a charity that helps rehabilitate former offenders and people with drug and drink alcohol addiction issues. And it was a really good evening. They had a video of one of their former clients who has come through the entire process. He was in prison. He had alcohol and drug addiction problems. He went through the entire process in their place at Yalding, came out the other end, and has now started a business. And has been running that business for a while, and he's been successful. Changed his life completely. And I had a video of it. It was really funny, though, because the guy was there and he won't let them use the video for promotional purposes because he talks about all the bad things that happened to him in his life. And he's going, it's going to destroy my business if people see this.
Sure.
So he won't release it, quite rightly. So we had a private viewing of that and a very inspirational message, very positive message. And like so many small charities, Kenwood Trust are struggling for funding. It costs £1,560 a week, I think, to put a resident through there. And, of course, that costs a lot of money because there's a lot of people in that situation. Now, they're based at Kenwood House, which is in Yalding, just on the outskirts of Maidstone. It's a Georgian country house. It's absolutely gorgeous. It is really a glorious, glorious place. And not just the house, but the whole environment there is very peaceful and tranquil. And it's just a lovely place to be. Now, funnily enough, Amanda is staging a Networkers Networking event there on the 2nd of November at Kenwood House. So if you come along to the Networkers Networking event, you can also see the house and see the work that the charity are doing. So, you know, two birds with one stone, if you see what I mean, bud.
The statistics for this is remarkable in how to rehabilitate people.
Mm.
And then the reduction on crime is remarkable. Yeah. So I don't understand why it's under a charity and not under a government funding system, because we wouldn't be in the same position.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's one of those strange things, isn't it? Obviously, as you know, I'm teetotal anyway. And Lord Clive Brooke, who's the patron of the charity, who organised the event last night, he's a reformed alcoholic himself. And we were just chatting about this and the lack of funds. And the thing is, you know, for me, the drinks industry ought to finance this. But, of course, morally, they don't want to be financed by the drink industry because morally it doesn't sit right. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but that doesn't work anymore. Look, you've got Lucozade who fund, you know, some of the top marathons and things like that. Yeah. They're not healthy. They're not energy drinks, but they're still, you know, doing this. So I don't believe that to be true.
Yeah.
You know, I think, come on.
Yeah, well, that would be my approach to it. I'll take the money from wherever I can get it,
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm like.
Yeah. Anyway, so the Networkers Networking event, which is taking place at Kenwood House, is on the 2nd of November. It's for people that want to find out how to be more effective at networking. And there's a number of networking groups are going to be there. So, you know, it's not just the event for the day. It's the people that are going to be there that are important. There's four brilliant speakers. There's Chris Pollard, who will be sharing the power in engagement and how this leads to collaboration. Spencer Wood will be sharing with us the power of mindset and it's important when networking. For those of you who don't know, Spencer's a close-up magician as well. Gemma Fairclough-Haynes from Orchard Employment Law will be sharing her networking experiences, do's and don'ts to successful networking. And the fabulous Mr. Mark Goldfinch will be sharing the standard seven-step process he uses to help individuals in business develop a repertoire of 60-second anecdotes about themselves. So four brilliant speakers. It's sponsored by Fruit Bowl Media, Telcare Limited and Carlene Lettings. Most of the networking groups are going to be there. The FSB, Metis Women, people like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now then, it's £25 to attend all day and to have a full lunch, or it's £15 to event with refreshments without lunch. But you can pop in at any time you want. You don't have to come all day.
Mm-hmm.
And those prices are if you book in advance. If you haven't booked in advance and then you find yourself in the area and you want to pop in, feel free to pop in. You can pay on the door. It costs £5 more to pay on the door, but you can. But if you book in advance, you don't have to stay all day. It's the kind of place where you can pop in and out and do whatever you want to do. So look forward to seeing you on the 2nd of November at Kenwood Trust, at Kenwood House. That's in Yalding, near Maidstone.
So, excellent.
Do it.
All right.
Good.
Have you ever done a firewalk?
No.
Huh.
Ask me the next question. Are you ever going to do a firewalk?
Are you ever going to do a firewalk?
No.
Why?
Because I'm not interested in burning my feet.
Well,
I'll tell you what,
I've done a couple of firewalks.
I bet you have.
And CXK Firewalk Challenge is happening on the 27th of October. Yeah, that's this Friday, isn't it?
It is.
Where is this month gone?
I know. It's going really quickly.
You know what I'm going to say next, don't you? It's Christmas soon.
Oh, don't start that. Don't start that.
Come on. Buddy the Elf, what's your favourite colour? Do you dare?
I said that to someone the other day. I walked in somewhere and there were two people dressed as elves and I went, Buddy the Elf, what's your favourite colour? And they both looked at me and went, what?
What is wrong with people?
Oh, I know.
Heathens.
Yeah, I know.
Heathens. I tell you what, while we're talking about heathens, just quickly, I love a sherry.
Do you?
I love a sherry.
Do you?
No, seriously, I do love a sherry. And do you know what I was thinking the other day? I was cooking this beautiful roast dinner. I thought, oh, do you know what? I'm at a sherry for years. Anyway, talking about heathens, because I'm a heathen with sherry.
Yeah. What do you have? Harvey's Bristol Cream.
Don't you knock it. It's blimmin' lovely.
Is it?
Yeah. Puts airs on your chest.
Does it?
Yeah. Do you dare face the heat and take on your charity fire walk on Friday the 27th of October at Singleton Environment Centre in Ashford? Or will you crumble into the ashes? Could you walk across 5 metres of red hot embers burning at 1,236 degrees Fahrenheit? CXK has appointed the Fundraising Firewalk Association to run this event for them. They have a 100% safety record. What does that mean? Do you know what I mean? What does that mean?
Yeah.
Nobody's died.
It means nobody's died or sued them so far.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're too busy putting Savlon on their burns on their feet.
They lost their legs up to their hips, but nobody's died. I'm joking, all right, just in case. So that's 100% safety record. And that's with the support of trained staff and all the participating walkers will be trained and motivated to brave the heat. That's at Singleton Environment Centre, Wesley School Road. Go on to Eventbrite and look for the Fire Walk Challenge, and the tickets are available there.
Cool. Thank you.
Pleasure.
I've had a tweet from Athel Bray.
Again, we love them. And have you said it right this week?
Yeah. And they said, Vanilla Web, Business Bunker, can we get a Tuesday shout out, please, for our finance course? Finance is so crucial to everyone in organisations. You're right there, without any shadow of a doubt. The word that strikes fear into many managers, get confidence and learn to love the numbers. It's taking place on the 29th of November at Chilston Park Hotel. I'll tell you what, it's finance for non-financial managers, and you need to go. If you don't understand your numbers, you're not in business. A lot of us don't like numbers, but that's beside the point. If you don't know your numbers, you're in trouble. So do go along. It's the 29th of November. To find out more about it, give them a follow on the Twitter and find out all the details. Athelbrae, Athelbrae, is their Twitter handle.
So I've got a question for you, Mr. Andrews.
Yep.
I know that we all say, oh, if you don't know your numbers, you're not in business, and that's great. But what if you've already got an accountant? What if you keep saying to your accountant, I want to know what my P&L is. I want to know what these things, I want to know. And you keep reaching out to them and they still do not keep giving you what you're asking for. What do you suggest people do?
Well, it all depends. It all depends what kind of basis you're on. What you want is monthly management accounts is what you're after.
Yeah.
P&L and a balance sheet, monthly management accounts so you can see the ins and outs. A lot of people now, we had Phil Sayers, Chief Executive of ClearBooks, on the show a couple of weeks ago. A lot of certainly smaller businesses are using cloud-based accounting. Well, it's a push of a button. You can go in yourself if you're using ClearBooks or Xero or any of those cloud-based systems. Mm. You just push a button and it'll produce your management accounts. So you can produce your own if you want. But really, it's just a question of saying to your accountant, I want monthly management accounts,
and
please.
And it needs to be monthly, doesn't
it? Yeah, it does. Yeah, you can't wait any longer.
No mucking around, not quarterly, every month.
If you have monthly accounts, you can track the trends very quickly. Yeah. If you leave it 6 months and then you find out you've been losing money.
Yeah.
You know, there's a report out today, a big car dealership in Kent has just been sold because they lost nearly £1 million last year. In profits, just went up, you know. How do you do that?
Yeah.
If you look at what's happening to you, surely you react before that.
Exactly.
But, you know, and luckily they've been saved because they've been bought by another motor group.
Yeah,
but,
adjust, isn't it? Adjust very quickly, but you need to know.
Yeah. And if you don't do it on a regular basis, i.e. monthly, you can't see the trend developing. Mm. It's a no-brainer, really.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Cool. Do you know what we're going to do now?
No.
We're going to play some music.
Oh, what you got?
I've got this. What do you reckon? You'll get it in a second.
Joe Jackson.
You got it. Is she really going out with him?
Pretty women out walking with gorillas down my street. From my window I'm staring while my coffee goes cold. Look over there, there's a lady that I used to know. She's married now or engaged or something, so I'm told. Is she really going out with him? Is she really gonna take him home tonight? Is she really going out with him? Because if my eyes don't deceive
Tonight's the night when I go to all the parties down my street. I wash my hair and I kid myself, I look real smooth. Look over there,
well,
there, here comes Jeannie with her new boyfriend. They say the looks don't count for much, so there goes your proof. Is she really going out with him? Is she really gonna take him home tonight? Is she really going out with him? Because if my eyes don't deceive me, there's something going wrong around here. Around here. But it looks good, kill. There's a man.
Rift Accounting. Safety in numbers. RiftAccounting.com.
ZC Live, bringing a digital one-day event to Kent with Zoe Cairns. ZC Live. Register for your free place. Visit zcsocialmedia.com. Want more business in Kent? Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join our supplymybusiness.co.uk Kent Business Community today.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Your business will grow if you take advice from people who've been there and done it. See and hear world-class business experts in masterclasses and workshops at the only business conference worth visiting. The Grow Kent Annual Conference, November the 30th at the Ashford International Hotel. Get tickets at growkent.co.uk.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Wow, welcome back. Cool. Well, don't know what's going on there. That's horrible, isn't it?
It is.
Mm.
What's happening?
Getting a lot of feedback. Don't know why. Barry, are you there?
I am there, yeah.
Cool. All right. We're joined on the phone by Barry Brophy from University College Dublin. What's it like over there in Dublin?
It's okay. It's not stormy like it was last week, so I can't complain.
Cool. Okay, well, Barry, you've been on the show a couple of times in the past, I know.
Yeah.
But just for those new listeners that don't know, give us a bit of detail to your background, what it is you do.
Okay. I basically help people with their presentations. Mm. I do that in University College Dublin, where we teach a course that is open to all students, generally fourth or fifth year students, so they have something to talk about, if you like. They're a bit further on in their studies. And I also work with companies, a lot of companies in the engineering field, because that's my own background.
Right, okay.
But my whole kind of thesis on this is very simple. Conversation, you have all the skills, You don't have to learn to speak. You already know how to speak. You do it in conversations every day of your life. Mm. And it's about taking those skills and doing the same things in a conversation. And I don't just mean the style stuff. I also mean the content stuff, like telling stories, citing examples, demonstrations, and lifting them into your presentations and planning a presentation that you can deliver like a conversation.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely it does. It, as you know, I worked myself as a motivational speaker many years ago, and it always astounded me because obviously I see loads and loads and loads of people speaking in public, of how people would try to prepare a scripted talk that just doesn't sound like them.
Yeah. It never does. No,
no.
I mean, it, and it's interesting that we're like on radio, and radio thrives on interactivity. Not only do you have kind of a host and a co-host and groups of people conversing, and you're listening in on that conversation, then you have guests coming on, but also you have the tweets from the listeners, so that it feels like you're part of the conversation. Mm. Whereas a pre-scripted speech, I mean, you know, maybe Martin Luther King and Barack Obama, maybe there's been a handful in the history of, you know, human beings where somebody can pull it off, but it's just so much easier to have a conversation. We do that effortlessly every day of our lives.
I know, it's amazing, isn't it, how people agonize over public speaking and spend weeks sometimes practicing and reading their written down thing. But the reality is that they actually know their subject, otherwise they shouldn't be speaking anyway. It always staggers me and surprises me that people won't relax and be natural about it.
Yeah, well, that's the sort of the, I suppose, I mean, I don't, you know, in the new book, I'm not plugging it, but just mentioning.
Oh, no, we want to plug. We want to plug.
Shamelessly.
But, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. But no, but the whole thesis, the whole idea, the whole theme, the whole central crux of it is not what people do wrong, but why they do it wrong. Mm. Like, what is it that, as you say, makes people who are good at everything else, you know, who are good with people, who are good at sales, who are good on the phone, who are, you know, why do they do this bit so badly when they can already do it?
Yeah.
So it was kind of a notice that there were a lot of hidden biases, things that stop people from pulling the same tools from conversations into presentations, and that's kind of what it's about. Mm. For example, people don't tell stories in presentations, and they do tell them in conversations. Mm. Actually, just even on your show last week, you know, when you were at that conference and you were kind of buttonholing people and asking them, like there was one guy, I can't remember the name of his company, Chips and Dinks.
Yeah.
I mean, he told about three stories in 3 minutes, and he was talking about, oh, there was a woman and she had this crack in her worktop, and she was worried because she had people, I think, coming to rent the house. And you remember the stories, and he just, you know, he was basically on the radio telling a story and being really interesting.
Mm.
Effortly.
And we were talking earlier, at the moment, Natalie does a lot of her show on the road, so she does outside broadcasts. And she was saying that people feel more comfortable doing that than coming into the studio and talking about it. Isn't that right, Natalie?
Yeah, they are, because they're more comfortable to tell their stories.
Absolutely, because they don't think they're doing anything other than chatting to you. And then it comes alive, doesn't it?
Yeah, because it's not staged or anything. It's natural, and they can just go for it.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I think in a presentation, it's like, you know, if you're explaining your company, you feel you have to sort of cover everything or give it the proper full treatment, and that makes you sort of speak very much in the general rather than in the particular. Whereas we had that guy last week, and he straight away jumped into an example. You want to know what I do? Well, I went to a lady's house. She had a chip in her worktop, and he used analogies as well. He said he used to be, I think, was in the motor trade, and we know about that. Fixing dents in cars is something we know about, but he said, well, I do that in houses, and you're going to go, oh yeah, I could do with that.
Absolutely.
So it's using these conversational tools and realizing that you don't have to communicate everything about your 30 years experience. You're only doing 5 minutes, so just give them a 5 minute example, and they'll go away with something that makes them curious to know something more, and that's how the conversation develops.
Yeah, absolutely. Barry, I want to ask you a question here. As an audience member myself, when I go and hear people talk, one of the things that drives me nuts, and I, you know, it might just be me, but people have PowerPoint presentations.
Yeah.
And they stand on a stage or on a lectern or whatever, and they read the slides to you. And that just drives me. I've never used a PowerPoint presentation in my life, I have to say. But it just drives me nuts. What are your thoughts on using, you know, presentation material? I mean, obviously lots of people, especially with a technical tool, need to use presentation materials, but what are your thoughts on the actual process of using it?
Yeah, I mean, it is the ultimate standout example of how people just do things that don't, even to themselves, don't make sense. They'll say things to you like, yeah, I know the PowerPoint was a bit heavy, but I had to get through this stuff. I think it is another example of what, you know, the inhibitions that affect people when they make decisions about their content. Mm. I think the PowerPoint thing comes from, it's a prompt, first of all. It's there. You're not going to lose your way.
Yeah.
It's a script. You know, you can plan your presentation in PowerPoint, which is not a good thing to do, but people do it.
Yep.
They open up their laptop, they start typing stuff down, and it's also a set of notes. You can give it to people afterwards.
Mm.
But none of those three things, which are sort of, if you like, before, during, and after, plan before, prompt during, notes after, none of those things benefit the live presentation itself. And I think what it comes from is people don't really understand the listening process as well.
Mm.
They become so fixated with themselves, being nervous, you know, not going over time, not losing their way, they don't realize that actually the only people in the room that matter is the audience.
Mm.
And if you focus more on the audience and on their needs, it actually makes it more like a conversation. You will ask them more questions, you will get them to talk more. That kills the nerves straight away. So, yeah, it is. It doesn't work. If, in case you needed my sort of confirmation or my echoing your sentiment, it doesn't work. It kills the presenter because they're reading, and it kills the audience. I used to think PowerPoint was something, don't make mistakes on it, don't overload it, try not to use it if possible. I've come to realize, actually, and it's obviously a hard thing to talk about on radio, but it is actually an opportunity for visuals. I mean, simply images and videos.
Yep.
But if you think about a presentation, you have so many layers. You've got the presenter with their energy, their hand gestures, their facial expressions, their eyes. You've got the interactive side of it, which, as I said, radio craves to be interactive.
Yep.
And then you've got maybe a video clip, a live demonstration, the most overlooked communication tool of all. Even if it's just a sort of a symbolic live demonstration, like I saw one last week where somebody was passing different colored markers around a room in different directions to show how packets are broken up and then reconnected in a Wi-Fi.
All right,
then
okay,
he had an animation with the same three colors, which was a very important point that you saw the parallelism between the animation and the demo. So you've got all these tools, but videos and images, and also graphs if you're very, very slow and careful with them.
Mm.
It's too good an opportunity to just shun. But definitely, I totally agree, it should be visual. A visual aid should be visual because you're going to do the talking and you're going to really energize the words more than the bullets.
Okay, absolutely. Now, you've just released a new book. Is this your second book on it?
It is,
yeah. Because I read your first book. You've sent me a copy of the book. I must admit, I haven't had a chance to read it yet, Barry. So tell us, it's called Awful Presentations. Tell us a little bit about the content of the book.
Yeah, I mean, it's provocatively titled because most people, I'm trying to appeal to the listener side of the audience, not the presenter side. For every one you give, you sit through 20.
Mm.
And when you say awful presentations to people, they kind of smirk and go, yeah, I know.
Mm.
And it's to get them thinking about it from the audience's point of view.
Mm.
But my whole thing is it doesn't have to be awful. It really isn't that difficult. And I kind of break each chapter down. So I basically say, why do people do these weird things, like the bullets you mentioned, like not telling stories, like whatever. I sort of introduce each problem and then say, why does this happen based on experience? And even some research we've done on this in UCD, particularly on storytelling, and then say, well, how can you fix this? And the fixes are easy. The great thing is you already know, as I said, how to speak. So it's realizing these sort of inbuilt inhibitions and just disarming them. So some people, for example, would be reluctant to put a single image on a screen because it looks, when they view it on their laptop, it just looks a bit sparse and there's no detail, there's no content, if you like. But it's to make them realize, look, this is an inhibition based on whatever. You're doing it because everyone else is doing it and because it acts as a guide and so on and so on. And you get them to realize that, no, they're right. Their instincts, like your instincts, are right. It should be visual. And to break each one of these sort of bad habits down and reconstruct them.
Absolutely. I mean, from my point of view, and I would say this, wouldn't I, as a professional talker, but I think, for me, in business, the ability to do a presentation, a talk, a technical talk, a talk to persuade people, any kind of talk really, is crucially important.
Absolutely, yeah.
And, you know, it still amazes me that so many people in business, I understand that people have a fear of doing things that they don't know how to do. I understand that. Of course, we all do. We're all, you know, have trepidations about things we're asked to do that we're not comfortable doing. But I still find it amazing that not enough people go and learn how to do a presentation properly, because it's crucially important.
There is a lot of bad advice out there as well. That's the other thing. Sometimes people, they try to get you to behave a certain way or to act a certain way, and I think that's wrong. You just need to act like you. But I suspect you, Tam, and I'd be interested in your thoughts on this. Like, when I get to do a presentation, I'm not thinking I'm going to knock them dead, but I'm thinking this is a huge opportunity for me to just talk to people. Do you sort of find that when you get the chance to present, are you sort of thinking almost straight away, well, I'm in now, like I'm able to make that connection?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's quite strange because I quite often get asked to speak when I'm not expecting it.
Right.
I go to places and people go, oh, you're here, give us a talk. And
okay.
And I guess I'm so used to doing it that I kind of just swap into automatic mode.
Okay.
But I enjoy doing it. I enjoy doing that. Interestingly, I'm going to read a tweet in a minute that we've just had. We've a lady called Lisa Settle, in the last few months, has started some events here in Kent, which are called Business Diaries. And what they are is a series of talks and presentations from business people, but not about business.
Oh.
So basically, she's asking them to tell a story from their life, but from their life in work, but not, you know, I invented this and then I sold four of them and became a millionaire. She's asking them to tell real life stories. Now, I spoke at the first one, and I've been to the four that have been staged so far, and they are absolutely brilliant, because every single person that's done a talk there, the talks have ranged from highly emotional to highly inspirational to funny to sad, all kinds of emotions, but every single one of them was delivered from the heart without any pre-preparation, because people knew the story. They knew the story off by heart. And it's been a fabulous series of things that have happened. And the stories are just absolutely brilliant. And I hope people get the message from that, that it's the stories that are important.
Yeah. And I think as well, sometimes people think a story is, you know, like they'd see you and they go, oh, he's a storyteller, he's funny, he's a good talker. But they don't realize they drop stories into conversations every 2 minutes.
We all do it, don't
like
we?
Somebody says something, you go, oh, my sister used to work there, she was telling me, and you tell a story.
Yeah.
And it's to get people to realize that even these especially the stories related to work, like, again, the guy who was talking, I think it was Tony was his name, about the chips and things.
Yes.
Here's a story, here's a story, this happened to me. Mm. And then people go, oh, wow. And it's like, you know, the top of any sort of, in any want ad, the most important feature is experience.
Mm.
And the stories are your way of relating your experiences. Anyone can give a presentation on anything, you just Wikipedia, but it's not interesting unless you have the experience to back that up. And that's, the stories just tap into that so brilliantly.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Absolutely. Look, as always, Barry, it's brilliant to talk to you. If people want to find out more about you, what's your website?
It's just barrybrophy.com, so B-R-O-P-H-Y, so like trophy with a B, barrybrophy.com, all one word, and that's the links to the book as well. The publisher is based actually in near Stoke, and which you'll be taken into any links you want through barrybrophy.com. It's the easiest thing to remember.
Fantastic.
And contact me through that. I'm always interested in, even in people's stories and experiences, and war stories are always good, because I use those anecdotes as well.
Okay, no, that's cool. So please do get in touch with Barry. You can also follow him on the Twitter. His Twitter handle is Barry Brophy UCD. Do give him a follow on the Twitter. Do look at his website. Do buy the book. It's a fascinating subject, an important subject, and handled really well. Barry, as always, it's an absolute pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks a million, Paul. I really appreciate it, and it's great to talk to you as well.
Yeah, take care. Have a good day, and send our regards to Dublin.
I will indeed. Cheers.
Cheers now. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good luck.
So, Barry Brophy there, University College Dublin, talking about the power of public speaking.
I held back so many questions.
Oh, you should have asked.
Well, no, because one, the line was really difficult and we couldn't. It was really, it was better to keep you going. But there's things like, I mean, I speak professionally, so we both do the same thing. But to know the audience is so important. And even sometimes to have an understanding of what you're going to go and talk about, but then to feel them, to have a tangible understanding of the energy in the room. And then sometimes, you know what? You've got to adjust to the audience that you've got in front of you.
Yeah.
It's not about you. It doesn't really matter.
No.
And what I find is that so many people have got so much wonderful wisdom to share, and they feel they've got to cram it into 45 minutes or 30 minutes. So they completely overload, or they speak too fast, says she who speaks so fast.
No, no, but you're absolutely right. And it's like doing this radio show, isn't it? It's a radio show for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And people go, oh, my God, I can't talk. I can't talk for 20 minutes. Yeah, you can.
Yeah, yeah.
And not only that, it's the 2 hours on this radio show goes just like that, doesn't it? We run out of time every week. People overestimate. How, you know, a lot of new presenters on the station, the first thing they say to me when they hear themselves back is, oh, I do um and a lot. Every human being ums and ers. If you listen just for the ums and ers.
Do you see what you did there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Was that on purpose?
No. That was an undeliberate pause. But if you listen to Chris Evans or anybody, they do exactly the same. There's loads of ums and ers in it. That's how human brains process. You know, we like to make a bit of space for what we're going to think about and say next. You know, it's a conversation. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to, you know, I used to teach public speaking, and one of the biggest problems with teaching public speaking was overcoming what people had already learnt. Yeah, like unaccustomed as I am to speaking in public, ladies and gentlemen, you know, and all that nonsense, and not being natural about what they do.
So why do you think, you know, your Barry was saying, when you speak as a one-to-one to somebody, people are usually very good, you know, because they are normal.
Yeah.
They just tell what
they're
you
just
say.
Being them.
In,
yeah.
Exactly, they are being them in like any social situation.
Yeah.
But as soon as they start speaking to a group, it completely changes.
Sure.
Do we know why?
For me, having seen so many presentations, people, and this is what Barry was saying, really, that there's this really weird thing that no matter how many times you tell people how to do it, they'll go back to the way that doesn't work because they've seen everybody else do it. Yeah. And everybody constructs a speech in the same way. They write it down on pieces of paper or 5x4 cards or whatever they write it on. They write bullet points. They walk around their living room reciting it out loud, trying to remember it. They get very nervous about it and they become very formal. Yeah, so they stop being themselves and they become formal. And they'll walk out onto the stage and they'll say, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Paul Andrews and I'm here today to tell you about advertising jobs on the internet. You know, and they'll just start doing this mechanical remembering of what they're trying to say. And the reason that they do that is fear.
Yeah.
Yeah. The fear of public speaking is, one, you're going to dry up. Two, you're going to have a bodily mishap of some kind. And three, that someone in the audience is going to know more than you and he's going to call you out. They're the three things that everybody's scared of, okay? And when I used to teach public speaking, I used to say they're the three things that are always going to happen to you. So trying to stop them happening is pointless. What you need is a strategy for dealing with them when they do happen.
But it's confidence as well. People care what other people think.
Yeah.
And as soon as they get up there, they feel that they're going to be judged harshly and actually seen for what they are. And that's their disbelief in themselves.
Yeah.
So actually, it all begins and ends with you. It always begins with what you work on. I've never done that. I've never written a speech down.
No,
I've done the cards right at the very beginning. But now I know my stuff. I know how the audience, I test it all the time. We talk about this. Test what you know. Test it on friends. Test it on people. There will always going to be somebody who knows more than you. But it's yours. It's your wisdom and knowledge to share.
But you nailed it just now as well. And the way to handle that, someone in the audience that knows more than you, is really easy. You go, well, you're obviously an expert,
for
madam.
Sure.
Yeah? Why don't you tell us?
It's a conversation.
Yeah, it's a conversation. I've had that happen to me so many times where somebody's gone, that's nonsense. And I go,
yeah.
you know about this. And exactly. they go, yeah, I'm a professor come of up. Nonsense. Yeah.
Or if you're presenting and somebody asks you a really difficult question and you feel instantly you get very negative,
yeah, yeah.
you're going to get cross because yeah. they're criticizing you. Yeah. I mean, one of the ways you just need to deflate it is just saying, now that's a really good question. I'm so glad you asked that because lots of people ask me this. And it's going to give me an opportunity to tell you how I feel about
X, absolutely.
Y, or Z. You know, it's learning how to deflate those questions as well.
I mean, I'm because I'm the way I am, I go, I ain't got a clue, mate. Why don't you tell me? Or does anyone here know? You know, if somebody asks me a question, I really don't know the answer, or I can't even bother to think about it very much.
You have to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what people know if you're not being honest?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They know exactly.
But that's why you need to be yourself, otherwise you get...
You can't be anybody else, but we try not to be. That's the interesting thing about speaking.
But that's why I like what he said about the PowerPoint presentation, because that stops the communication, in my view. People look at the screen and not you. You need to look at them in the eyes and vice versa.
Yeah, and my big... I never use any... technology and you know that doesn't mean to say I'm right. I mean, there's no reason why you can't have visuals and music and all kinds of things. I just don't. One, because I'm lazy, and two, because I end up speaking at lots of things that I wasn't expecting to speak at, so I don't carry a presentation around in my pocket. But the thing that I think that people need to know is it's not a lecture. You're not a teacher. You're not standing at the front of a class lecturing people. Yeah, you're sharing your experiences. And if you don't have an experience, ask the audience. Because someone in the audience will. If it's that important, you just go, well, I don't know, what do you think?
I see people use PowerPoint to give their presentation some mapping. So they'll think, oh, if I've got it behind me, then I'll remember where I am.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. Mm. If you... know your stuff. Mm. It doesn't matter how it's delivered. Mm. The audience has got no idea. They're just there. Mm. And actually, most people want you to do well. There's very few people that sit there and...
I use pictures because pictures tell stories.
Yeah.
Right. Mm.
So if you have just one... I use presentation usually just in that way. You show just one picture and you talk of it.
Mm.
But just one thing, just because I wanted to say when you were talking, and it's quite true to a certain extent. Somebody said about PowerPoint, it has little power and no point.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
It's in teaching public speaking, I used to teach three steps. If you want to construct a talk, there's only three steps: incident, action, benefit. Mm-hmm. So basically, working from the middle, the action is what you're talking about, the subject. The benefit is why you're telling the audience. What do you want them to do? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you're trying to sell your business, you go, the action is what my business is, advertising jobs. My finish to my speech is the benefit. So what I suggest you do is you advertise with us because we'll fill your jobs for you. Mm-hmm. And then the crucial bit is the incident. And the incident is the opening of your talk. And an incident is something that happened to you that's relevant to what you're going to talk about. It's a story. Just like the tabloid press with, Freddie Starr ate my hamster. Mm-hmm. It is is an opening line that gets people's attention. And then you go with it. So it's just a three-step process. And most people know the bulk of it, which is the action bit, because that's what they live every day. But you're right. We then end up doing a whole PowerPoint presentation and reading the slides to everyone. Anyway, interesting, fascinating topic.
Love it.
You got any tweets or emails you want to share with us?
Goodness, I've got loads.
Go for it then.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Rift Accounting, smart. Start My Biz and Rift Accounting are excited to announce the My Biz conference. So can I just make sure that this isn't the non-conference?
It's the unconference.
So this is the unconference, but we've changed the name of it.
What have they called it?
My Biz Conference.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so experience the challenges and successes of business at the exciting Biz Conference for entrepreneurs, business to business and business growth. This conference is following our successful ER unconferences with dynamic speakers including Mark Quinn from Quinn Estates and Jodie Fanning, British auto racing driver who currently competes in the European Le Mans Series. Did you like my French then? Thank you. Driving for JM Watt.
He drives a Ferrari.
Who does?
Him.
Who?
Jodie.
Oh, really?
He drives a Ferrari.
Do you know what we saw yesterday on the motorway? A McLaren P1.
Oh, did you? Oh,
my gosh. And I'm not a car tart at all.
Are you not a car tart?
Not at all. Not? My favourite car is my 2CV.
Is it?
Or my,
is that why you wouldn't get in my Porsche with me?
No, I would not. Unless I could drive it. And then
Jody's been on the show.
Oh, really?
He's been on the Bunker Show.
Anyway, pop-up workshops, two-minute business pitches, business stands, networking and more. We have a limited number of business stands available, so you need to book those online, as well as the business conference sponsorship packages. So you need to go to chris.west@canterbury.gov.uk, and this conference is the business. Be part of it. Book today.
Fantastic.
Do you think Nettie had anything to do with
that? Nettie's involved, yeah.
Did she
yeah.
write that?
Yes.
Excellent.
Cool.
What have you got?
I've got the tweet from the Business Diaries. Could we have a Business Bunker shout out, please? Our next business storytelling event is on December the 7th. Tickets are now on sale for just £8 via Eventbrite, or you can follow the Business Diaries on Twitter, which is the Biz, B-I-Z, Diaries, the Biz Diaries.
Well, following from that, we've got the Business Diaries, and they said really enjoyed and resonated with what Barry was saying on the Business Bunker. It's exactly what we try to create at our events. So there you go.
It is, and it works, and it's brilliant. And I've been to every single one of them, and I'm going to that one as well. They are absolutely fabulous. Four or five speakers, completely different range of things, loads of different emotions, really fascinating stuff.
Yeah, I was going to come and do something, but I haven't, haven't managed it. You know, you go, oh my God, still haven't done it. Hi, Vanilla Web, listening in to Business Bunker Show from Sittingbourne this week. Can we get a shout out for us in the office? Here you go. It's the workroom. There's your shout out for today.
I've had a tweet from Click Dating Events.
Oh, yeah.
And Click are going to be launching on this very station next Monday, the 30th of October, 7 p.m. in the evening, our first dating show.
How exciting.
Yeah, so...
What's it about? What's it about?
Dating.
Right. And what do they do? Do they, like... What's the essence of the show?
Well, we haven't done one yet, so we'll see.
Well, are they going to put people together live? Or what's going to happen?
No, there's going to be loads of different things. They are going to put some people together, but they're also going to talk to them about their experiences post-date. But they're also going to have experts in talking about how to dress for success, where to go on a date, you know.
What to say.
What to say, how soon to get down to the business and all that kind
of
stuff.
You can't say that.
Why?
You can't say that. That's rude.
Yeah, no.
Surely it's an individual bespoke thing.
I'm sure it is, but that's part of the conversation that everybody wants to have, yeah?
Nice.
So they're gonna have loads of different angles that they're going to look at and talk about. And it's launching next Monday on channelradio.co.uk, presented by Linda and Elle Cloak, who run Click Dating Events and have a long track record in running dating, speed dating, yeah, and all kinds of other dating and romance-based stuff.
Are they going to give tips and strategies and processes of how to find the one?
Yeah, how to present yourself. Hopefully, how not to use a 20-year-old photograph, please, ladies.
Okay, so when you present yourself, don't do jazz hands or anything.
No, exactly. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
You said?
And
I think men use old photographs more than women.
Do you know where I've seen this worse than anything is when you go to an event and you're speaking and then the other presenters or the other speakers have got the worst photos and you think that is not you who's in the photo on the thing. So it's really important to have the photo that is you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What,
whoever you are, whether you're dating, whether you're speaking, why are you putting a 20-year-old photograph?
The problem is we all want to look our best, don't we? And you get up in the morning and you think, oh, God, I look at the right state. Yeah, I mean, look at you.
Look at the state of me today.
Yeah, dribble down your front and everything.
This is the best you're going to get from me today. This is peak performance
this
today.
This is peak bird, this is. Yeah, but we all want to look our best, don't we? So we kind of pick a photograph where we look really good and we're happy with it, and then we kind of forget. I don't know about you know, I mean, but when I'm not near a mirror, I don't think of myself as the way I look now. I think of myself as someone about 29, 30, you know, nice dark hair, all wavy and all the rest of it.
It is, love.
I know.
You stay with it.
I've just got a really rotten mirror that doesn't portray me properly. Yeah.
You just keep the visionary going.
Exactly.
It's brilliant.
But really, you know, I don't feel any older than I did in my mid-30s, and I still think of myself that way until I clock myself in a mirror and I go, who the hell's that?
Yeah.
And I think that's why we do it. But, you know, we're just not comfortable with the way we look now, no matter how we look.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see that new show. We've got lovely new shows coming on.
Yeah, we've got two or three.
How's the health show coming?
Yeah, Neil just delivered the second show, and that went very well. So we're really pleased with
it. Really well. So oh, she right, was okay. super nervous. About yeah, yeah. But yeah, it was good.
Yeah, no, it's good.
Good. We've got a tweet here at AM Marketing. Can we have a shout out, please? We're out picking our AM pumpkin this lunchtime. What's that? Oh,
for Halloween.
Yeah. Yeah, that's next
Tuesday. They're going to get a pumpkin, haven't they, to make a lantern, presumably. I had a tweet from Camellia Genics, Chris Hyde.
Have you seen where he is?
Well, he says, please can I have a shout out? I'm listening to you from poolside.
Yeah.
And there's a picture of a lovely sunny pool with palm trees, but I don't know where it is.
Is that pool in the UK?
Or it's not pool in Dorset because it hasn't got an E on the end. And anyway, it's bright sunshine and it's a swimming pool, and I don't think it's that warm in pool in Dorset at the moment.
No.
Unless they've had some kind of microclimate over Christchurch.
Yeah. Well, we've already had something come through about this. So this is Thursday, the 30th of November, Ashford International Hotel, 8:30 till 4:30. And this is the business growth accelerator. Five business growth experts reveal how to unlock accelerated growth for your business without risking your assets, money, or your lifestyle. Who should attend? So this is for you, owners and directors of small to medium-sized businesses, including startups, which are frustrated by the lack of income and profit growth. Now, I wish I'd said who the speakers are, but I know that James Sinclair is one of the speakers. Is that right? Well, not that I'm plugging my show, because I would hate to do that on the business.
Oh, you wouldn't do that, would you?
But do you know what? I've got him the week before. So James Sinclair, if you haven't watched some of his stuff, he's got an amazing vlog now. It is awesome. Go check him out. It's James Sinclair. He's one of the speakers, Six World speakers. He's on my show, The Conversation, which is on a Wednesday from 1 till 2. And he's on the 22nd of November. So I'll have him the week before.
Fantastic.
Just saying.
Update. It's that time in the show when we give you a roundup of all the things happening in the world of the Federation of Small Business. I'm going to read out three or four events they've got coming up. If you want to book any of them, go to bizradio.co.uk, hit the FSB tab, and then book your place through the events. There's a Women in Business brunch in Sevenoaks on Thursday the 9th of November, 9:30 to 11:30 at the King's Head, 2 Westrum Road, Bessels Green. And the guest speaker is Francesca Watson, who is the owner of Sevenoaks Mums. There's an FSB Connect Festive Tenterton Networking on Wednesday, November the 15th. I'll be at that, 5:30 in the evening till 7:30. That's at the Secret Pantry, 100 High Street. And there's a lady speaking at that who is the Kent Police Cybercrime Unit Head. There's FSB Connect Networking in Maidstone on Thursday the 16th of November, 5:30 p.m. That's at the Metro Bank. And the guest speaker there is Joanne Frey of Harlequin CDS, and she's talking about GDPR. There's a FSB Connect Women in Business brunch on Tuesday, November the 28th at Western Hanger Castle. In association with Western Hanger Castle, pleased to invite you to a bi-monthly networking event for women in business. And then there's a Connect Women in Business in Dartford on Tuesday, December the 5th. That's at 10 a.m. at the Base Point Centre. All of those can be booked through the Biz Radio website.
Hashtag World Mental Health Day. To mark World Mental Health Day 2017 on Monday, the FSB urged the government to reach out and work with small businesses and the self-employed to tackle the impact of mental health issues in the workplace. Statistics from FSB's Medical and Health Advice Service show the number of small business owners and self-employed seeking advice on mental health conditions was doubled in the last 5 years. Our short guide, Wellbeing in Small Business, provides ideas on how business owners better manage the well-being of themselves and their employees.
The FSB are bringing to our attention the business opinion on the Tunbridge Wells new Civic Centre proposals are wanted. Businesses are being invited to a briefing after the council received the final reports on its plans to invest in a new town centre development. Following a series of earlier briefings for local businesses, the council is to host a further event at 8:30 a.m. on Wednesday, November the 1st, in the council chamber at the town hall, focusing on plans to develop a 1,200-seat theatre, a civic centre, commercial offices to let, and an underground car park on the edge of the Calvary grounds. If you want to know more about it or to register for the briefing, please email TWCivicCentre@tunbridgewells.gov.uk. twciviccentre@tunbridgewells.gov.uk.
Drop in apprenticeship numbers. New figures were released from the Department for Education this week showing the number of people starting apprenticeships in England has fallen, this is so sad, by 61%. Shocking.
Oh, the laws of unintended consequences by politicians again.
Following the introduction of the apprenticeship levy and changes to funding for small businesses, Mike Cherry said, although the programme of reform will take time to bed in, he emphasised there needs to be a real concerted effort to enable employers to take on apprenticeships. Please help them. It's so important.
Absolutely. Generating business in Canterbury. One of the best ways to learn, network and grow is to immerse yourself in a wide variety of business events. The Business and Regeneration team at Canterbury City Council's aim is to be your one-stop shop for you to discover events that are relevant to your business. You can find out more about it by going to mybiz-canterbury.co.uk/events.
Chancellor looking at steps to end staircase tax. Philip Hammond confirmed the government was certainly looking at legislative steps to put an end to the staircase tax in England and Wales, which affects businesses that occupy multiple floors within a building now receiving individual rates. Bills for each floor. I can see your face from over there.
I lost the will to live with that. I've got four staircases in my building. They've gone mad. 800% increase in my rates.
Well, apparently there's a victory of common sense.
Yeah.
Let's see what that means.
So what does that mean? The government have announced that they've seen common sense. So why didn't they see common sense before they started it? Why don't they wait until afterwards? Why don't they have to U-turn everything? Why don't they just think about it first?
Hold on. They welcome relief. What does that mean?
Yeah.
That's it. Welcome relief to the desperate firms. That's it. Nothing else to say about it.
The FSB is searching for the Southeast's most outstanding small business. Celebrating Small Business Awards 2018 is now open. It opened on the 11th of September for entries, and you can enter up until the end of January 2018. It's free to enter. And there's a number of categories: Business Exporter of the Year, Ethical Green Business of the Year, Business and Product Innovation Award, Digital Business of the Year, Micro Business of the Year, Startup of the Year, Scale Up of the Year, Family Business of the Year, Young Entrepreneur, Employer of the Year, Triumph Over Adversity Award. I should win that for reading this out.
And me. And I can apply for
it. And a community award. Because you're a global company.
You're so funny.
You're a global company.
I am a global company.
You can enter the Ashford Awards now.
Do you know what? That's what you sent through to me. Yeah. Here, I was going to do this for my book launch. So get ready for the Small Business Saturday bus tour. Just makes me smile. And they've announced plans for this year's bus tour. It started yesterday in Dundee. And the bus will travel to 29 different towns and cities. Why are they starting it in Scotland? It's cold and everybody's blue up there.
As they come south, it gets warmer.
It's true, they're blue. It's cold up there. Not that they're blue in mood, they're just blue in colour because it's freezing. Launching during the tour is a new mentoring
program. Does blue go with ginger?
As well as the small business, did you just say that? Where interviews, Q&A sessions will be streamed via live Facebook. I'm going to do that for my new book.
Cool. Budget announcements must stop the productivity rot, say the FSB. The introduction of export vouchers, simplification of R&D tax credits and expansion of the Small Business Research Initiative would provide a much-needed boost to the manufacturing industry, which has seen a fall in output per hour. Mike Cherry said the Chancellor must intervene at the autumn budget to stop the productivity rot following the second quarterly fall in UK labour productivity in quarter two 2017.
Networking. Could help tackle loneliness of self-employed. FSB are urging the UK's 5.5 million small business owners and self-employed to make more use of business networking groups, saying it's a great idea. So visit the Wellbeing Hub for information and practical advice.
Thank you for that. We're now going to join Abby Smitten in the Channel Radio newsroom.
On the hour, Channel Radio news update.